Aloha, party people. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 81. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Since 1854, Tandawai Distillers has been producing quality rum from the Philippines. The indisputable history of their Philippine rum is the foundation of which the Tandawai legacy continues today. Tandawai Asian Rum is made with premium varieties of heirloom sugarcane grown in the Visayas region of the tropical island of the Philippines. It is the same Southeast Asian vintage canes that has been cultivated for centuries in the tropical maritime climate and rich Philippine soil, which makes Tandawai Asian Rum distinctly Filipino. Tandawai Rum also has lots of history in the tropical exotic cocktail era when it first began with Don the Beachcomber and his Filipino barmen in the 1930s. There's evidence that these legendary bartenders created some of the first tropical cocktail recipes using Tandawai Rum. For more information, go to TandawaiUSA.com or stop by Tandawai USA's Facebook page. Today we chat with Mark Sellers, owner and founder of Tiki Cat in Kansas City, Missouri. And on this episode, we are joined by a trio of all-stars, including Bamboo Ben, builder of this beautiful bar and lounge, as well as Doug Horn and Crazy Al, designers of two new Tiki mugs, Devo Cat and Witco Cat, which debuted for the one-year anniversary party for which all of us were in town celebrating. We talk about the motivation behind why Tiki Cat was started and what's in store for the future. And if you would like to be involved or even invest in Mark's next project, what he is billing as a modern-day Maikai, well, there's an opportunity waiting just for you. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you enjoyed this episode, hit that subscribe button. The podcast is free and it will make it easier for you to follow our adventures. Shares on your social media pages are always appreciated, and if you'd like to help support the show, please stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, let's get into this. Here's our recording with Mark, Ben, Doug, and Al, recorded on location from Tiki Cat. What's happening, party people? We are coming to you live from Tiki Cat in Kansas City, Missouri today. And we are joined with the one and only Mark Sellers, the proprietor of this unbelievable bar.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you for having
us. Very kind words.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, and then we've got to give props up to Bamboo Ben, who built it.
Hello.
Happy birthday, you guys.
That's
is it a birthday or is it an anniversary?
Well, it's the same thing.
Right?
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
Both. Depends on how you look at it. I feel like I birthed a baby when I opened this place, so it is a birthday for me. I mean, it was hard work getting it open.
So you're a year old now, and we had a big party last night for the one-year birthday. We had a big bouncy house, and we had a clown doing animal balloons. And
really?
Right?
We had a magician.
Magician. And cupcakes. And
midget tossing contest.
Midget tossing contest. Doug missed out. Doug
I knew it was a bad idea to have you guys in the room.
Doug was on the plane last night. So
now we've already gone to midget jokes and we're only 30 seconds into the thing.
So
what's it
going to
end like?
Let's talk about who's here. We're here with Mark and Bamboo Ben, and we've got Doug Horn and Crazy Al. Say hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
That was Al.
That was Al and Doug. Doug's the tallest man in the world, by the way. I didn't know that you guys had Doug on the picture outside in the hallway. Did you know that? Mark doesn't know, right?
I know exactly.
Was that done on purpose?
Anthony Carpenter, who did that mural, may have had Doug Horn in mind. I know that you're one of his idols. So
really,
yeah, in the art world at least. I don't know about in the rest of the life, but in the art world, he always talks about you. So
yeah, I always strive to be like Doug too.
it's tall.
It's hard.
I have one complaint about the bar.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's probably towards Ben. The lights are way too low.
Too bad.
So I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about how this whole bar came together. And, you know, I know that you are running Tiki Cat upstairs.
Hop Cat.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hop Cat. We're in Tiki Cat. You're running Hop Cat upstairs. And was this basement always here?
Well, I mean, when we got this location in Kansas City, it was bigger than what we needed for the Hopcat location, which is originally what we were looking to do in this entire building was a Hopcat, which has 100 beers on tap. It's all craft beer, a lot of good comfort food. It's a more of a restaurant kind of vibe with craft beer. But we had this basement space that we just didn't need. We already have enough seats upstairs, and it was a little more space than we needed. So we weren't sure what to do with the basement space, and I had been a tiki fan for a long time, and I just said, well, let's do a tiki bar down there. It's a perfect space because it's small, intimate, no windows, completely separate from the restaurant upstairs.
Is this really underground? Are we really underground? So, okay.
See the wall behind it?
Yeah, yeah. That's the wall. Yeah, that's why I'm asking, like because it looks like
a limestone wall.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's been painted in black. It looks like volcanic
lava. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, because in California, what we call a basement is really like just downstairs, you know. And there's always a door that goes outside. Like, this ain't a fucking basement. So yeah, I mean, it's an awesome space. People keep saying, "Oh, it's a little bit small," but I walked in, it's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. Right. So,
well, it's about, I think it's about 1,400 square feet total.
Yeah, it's bigger than my first apartment. I'm not kidding.
our seating capacity is only 47, according to the fire department.
Yeah.
And the reason for we have such a low seating capacity is that we didn't want to make people leave to use the bathrooms, which are associated with Hopcat.
Okay.
So we added bathrooms that were separate just to Tiki Cat. That took up probably 30 seats or 20 seats right there.
Oh, and then, gotcha.
Also, I didn't want people to feel cramped too much. I wanted it to be a place you could kind of spread out and relax. And so we limited the seating.
All right. All right. So I want to talk about the build process. So let's ask Ben about... you know, tell me about how this whole place came together. One of the things that I asked him last night, which I never thought of, is, dude, whenever you do these builds outside of California, how do you get your tools there?
I get mules and they come, they bring them. Old school.
So tell me about the build process, Ben. How long did it take you and what was that like?
I think we were here 6 weeks on and off, something like that. We came.
Yeah, so the way it worked is that... we had a construction company that did all the, just basically set the room up, and then Ben came in and turned it into a tiki.
Right,
it was just
right.
a blank room with plumbing. So he did all the finishing work. So, but there was construction down here before Ben came in to start the tikification of the room.
Well, actually, right. during when we came here, it was about a week or two. We were here, and the floors weren't finished yet, and they were still putting plywood up on the walls. You know, things run behind sometimes in construction all the time. But they had a warehouse across the street for us, so we did a lot of prep work over there. And then when the floors were finally done, we just moved everything over here and bam, 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 you know, nailed it up. We pretty much used every bit of material we had.
Yeah.
I think we had like maybe two scraps of bamboo left and a couple pieces
of
wood.
Wow, really?
And it worked out really well, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet, man. I like the design. I like the A-frames over
the
these
huts.
Booths.
You got to have huts.
Yeah, yeah. The huts are cool.
Nice intimate little place
to
hang out.
And what I like is that you didn't do like seated booths like dining room booths.
Right.
That you've got couches and stuff.
Yep,
so
that's Mark,
you've got your
Mark's
own
the
little intimate room with your buddies and have some drinks.
Yeah, the good thing about it too is like just in case you have, you know, you rent it out for a private party or something like that, you can move stuff around.
Yeah.
I like doing that, you know, make it semi-permanent stuff, but a lot of times, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Move stuff around.
Yeah, the furniture I bought mostly on eBay.
Okay.
It's all vintage, kind of used furniture.
Do you have furniture shipped here when you buy from eBay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I would have it shipped here.
Yeah.
Attention, Bamboo Ben.
Okay.
So,
people are tripping out.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the new Bamboo Ben sticker, right?
Yeah. Attention, Bamboo Ben.
Right.
I think
right.
the UPS guys got a laugh out of that. You know?
I bet they did.
Bamboo Ben. Who's this Bamboo Ben?
We ended up the name threw a lot of people here. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the construction guys were like kind of like Midwestern, not rednecks, but you know, they were like, Bamboo Ben, what the hell is that? You know,
right.
And the whole town was like, you know, you tell people at home, yeah, we're building a tiki bar. What the hell is tiki bar?
Right, right,
you
right.
Know, you're going to be your place to escape. Come here. You don't have to go to Hawaii. You can just come here and get away from it all. Man.
When was the last tiki bar that was out here in Kansas City?
Well, Mark will know that.
I actually am not sure when the last one to close was. And some of the local Kansas City tiki files are probably going to shoot me for that, but it might have been Trader Vic's.
Okay.
Corey would know. Yeah, Corey.
Because, you know, for people that are into tiki out here, it's got to be exciting to get a new bar. You know, like in Southern California, we have our own kind of tiki that we're pretty spoiled. But even then, it's still exciting to get a new bar, right? Yeah. And we've got tiki all over the place.
You guys are, for somebody who's into tiki that lives in Michigan or Kansas City, you guys in the West, on the West Coast, have an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
So I love to go out there and just go on tiki tours. In fact, I'm going to be out there next month doing that.
Oh, are you really? What brings you out?
I'm going to some concerts. Okay. The Black Crowes.
Black Crowes,
all
right.
I'm going to three different shows, one in L.A., one in Oakland, and one in Tahoe. So I'm just going to hit up a bunch of tiki bars while I'm there, too.
Oh, cool. Cool. We need to hang out. You used to live out there, right?
Yeah, I lived in L.A. for 2.5 years in the mid-90s.
Okay.
I was a broke musician. I lived in Venice and West Hollywood and West L.A.
Were you trying to make a go of being a musical artist?
Yeah, I was a piano player. I had dropped out of Berklee School of Music in Boston.
Okay.
Because I sent a tape back then. You know, there was no internet, so you would mail tapes to people if you wanted to audition for their band in another city. So I auditioned over by mailing a tape to this band in L.A. They wanted to hire me, so I put all my everything I owned in life in a U-Haul trailer and drove it out to L.A. I was there 3 days later, and I joined this band, and I lived there for 2.5 years.
What was your jam?
Well, this particular band I was in was more kind of like a Grateful Dead type jam band,
right,
but
right.
I'm more into kind of indie rock and roll, as well as roots-based Americana and stuff. Yeah.
So how did you get going from being in a band to being in the hospitality industry or restaurant bar industry?
Well, I wasn't making it as a musician. I had tried for years. I was 27, and I decided I'm going to go back to college because I'm sleeping on couches.
Yeah,
I mean, I was literally homeless, although I had a lot of friends out in L.A. that I had made, and so they would let me sleep on their couch for a few days, and I'd go to a different friend's house. And after doing that for like 6 months, at the end of my musical career, I said, this is just, I'm just not making it. So I moved back to Michigan, got a degree in business, got a job in Chicago, moved up the ladder, got my MBA while I was there at Northwestern. Then I left my job after 6 years to start my own investment firm, and I started with a couple friends of mine that just invested with me, and then I ended up getting more and more people, and over the next 5 years, it kind of mushroomed until I was able to basically retire when I was 38.
Oh, wow.
So I gave the money back to the investors who had put, who had backed me, and I just moved back to Michigan where I had grown up. I had been in Chicago then at that point for 10 years. And I started a bar just for fun, just because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next in life, and that was called Hopcat.
Yeah,
and it took off. We got named third best beer bar in the world our first year open, and we've been on like all these different lists, like Draft Magazine top 50 beer bars in America, and a bunch of other lists like that. And so it just kind of took off, and I opened a second one and a third, and now there's 15 of those. In nine different states.
I was just about to ask, how many Hopcats do we have now? Yeah.
I think this was our 12th, but now we've got 15.
So the last time I saw you was at the Tiki Art Now show. And no, not Tiki Art Now. Art of Tiki. Yeah. Art of Tiki show.
La Luz de Jesus Gallery.
At the La Luz de Jesus Gallery. And so I want to talk about the elephant in the room. Ben's smiling at me. I just put out, well, I shouldn't say I just put it out, but I have a video on my website. I covered that event, and I was telling everybody that John Lasseter bought those tikis. I even asked you.
That's a funny story.
And I even asked you straight up. I said, you bought them, didn't you? And then you looked at me and you said, no.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say I'm a shy guy, but I'm kind of a low key guy, and I didn't want to be the guy that everybody had to talk to and be like a focus of that.
Yeah,
I'm not an artist, right? So I don't want to take any of the focus off the artists who were there, and I certainly didn't want to be walking around and everybody's talking about, oh, this Mark Sellers guy. So I just wanted to be incognito at that show. So I didn't want anybody to know that I had bought them until after the show was over.
Right.
And it was very difficult to keep it a secret. So many people came up and asked me. And so I asked Ben, if he would maybe start a rumor that somebody else had bought him, because I knew it would spread like wildfire.
And it did.
And so he started telling a few people that, you know, John Lasseter from Pixar bought him.
Right.
And that held off for about a week, and then people said, I still think it's that Mark Sellers guy. So.
Yeah.
But at least it got me through the show.
So, you know, everyone's dying to know what you're going to do with all that stuff.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, because everybody has asked me, many people have asked me that, and I'm trying to keep it secretive.
Okay.
But I've also had a little bit of a setback in that I have all these amazing artifacts that I want to put into a bar, but I've got another company, this Hopcat company that's growing like crazy, and I've got investors in that. And they invested in that based on having been into a couple of them that were already open and seeing what it was like and seeing that it was already profitable and seeing the growth prospects. And so they backed me for this Hopcat concept. Well, now I've gone to them and said, look, I want to do this amazing tiki bar. I want to do what I'm hoping is the greatest tiki bar to open in years. I want to have all these different tiki artists and well-known tiki mixologists and designers involved in this project. I want to get the whole tiki community involved and really do this amazing tiki bar. Will you back me? And they're like, tiki? What's tiki?
Yeah.
You know, they don't, I mean, my investors aren't from Southern California,
so they're
from the Midwest, and they don't know what tiki means. They don't, trying to explain it in words to them was very difficult, and I wasn't able to raise the money as easily as I thought. So at this point, everything's been delayed. I've got all these artifacts. I know exactly what I want to do. I've got tons of experience opening restaurants. I know a lot of people in the tiki world that I would get involved in it, but I don't have the capital to open it right now. So that's why I haven't already announced something.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
But that's an exclusive. I haven't told anybody else that
before. Okay. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. That's an exciting thing to hear, though.
Really?
I haven't even told you that.
That was an exciting thing to hear, though, because we know that at least there's an intent and there's a plan that's kind of being put in place at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I saw all those artifacts for sale, it was really important to me that they be kept together as one collection.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called the gallery rep and said, hey, are they still available? He said, well, 95% of them are still. And I said, I'll take them. I just want them to be kept as one collection. I think it's important.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also want them to be able to still be displayed publicly. I don't want them to be, like, let's say 200 different people each bought one item. They'd never be seen again. Everybody would have one in their home bar. And, you know, it would never be publicly displayed again as a collection. And I didn't really want that to happen.
Yeah.
So that
was my thought, is I thought it would be a shame that it would disappear into someone's place and we'd never see it again.
Well, that is what would happen, probably, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's kind of cool about that stuff is that it's carved by a lot of people that we revere, right? I think we had some guancos in there. Is that right?
Yes.
And what else was in there?
Leroy.
There was Leroy in there. Did we have any Eli in there? No Eli.
No.
Eli didn't do a whole lot of carving. He did the Aku Akus and he did some other, you know, the one in Trader Mort's.
Trader
Mort's,
stuff like that.
Just a few.
Okay. So I guess what I'm leading up to, though, is that, you know, those are kind of what I'd call them, the forefathers, right? Mm-hmm. The guys who kind of started that whole movement with their art. And then now we're sitting here with the artists of our generation, right? So we've got Ben, we've got Doug, and we've got Crazy Al. And last night when we were sitting at the bar, there's so many people that were starstruck with these guys, you know? And it's kind of funny because these are all my buddies, so I don't see them that way. And and I'm looking at this picture that Doug posts from the airplane last night, and he's like at the back of the plane, like the tallest man in the world. They put him on the back wall, right? It was just like the worst. I'm like half his height, and it's uncomfortable for me. How was that flight? How was that flight for you?
Oh, it was delayed. It was late. I wanted to be here, but So, yeah, we'll have fun tonight.
Well, Kansas City does not get the tiki celebrities very often. And when I say that, you guys know you are tiki celebrities. To these people that live here, they don't just go to Tiki Tea on a random Wednesday and see, you know, Crazy Al or Bamboo Ben. To them, this is like a one possible once-in-a-lifetime experience to meet you guys.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal here. The regular customers were all here last night. Oh, awesome. A lot of them will be back tonight.
Are they coming back tonight, hopefully?
Most of them.
Okay, good.
So
we'll all be in one room tonight, so it'll be fun.
We had Martin Kate here last night, too. I think he'll be here again tonight. Yeah.
So I'm excited to be here. I've never been to Kansas City before. I have a little history here. My parents met in art school at the Kansas City Art Institute. Had my brother here, and then they moved to Phoenix. And then they had me in Phoenix, so my dad went to art school here. So that's kind of a cool... So dad's 91 now. He's not doing art anymore, but he said, go check out that art school. It's probably different from it was in the 40s. So it's cool to be here.
If you have a product, service, or event that you'd like to bring attention to, we can help. Imagine hearing your ad in this spot, just like you're hearing this one right now. Sponsor an episode and get the exposure you deserve. For more information, go to DesertOasisRoom.com and click on Services.
Thanks for listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room. This is the B.G. Reynolds recipe of the day. The Saturn Cocktail. 1/2 ounce lemon juice. 1/4 ounce B.G. Reynolds Falernum. 1/4 ounce B.G. Reynolds Original Orgeat. 1/2 ounce B.G. Reynolds Passion Fruit Syrup. 1 1/2 ounce gin. Shake all ingredients with ice and strain into a coupe glass. Garnish with a lemon spiral. Be sure to use B.G. Reynolds syrups, trusted by the world's top tiki bars for great cocktails with every pour. Save the mess and buy the best. B.G. Reynolds, available at bgreynolds.com and now on Amazon.
I have to put my sunglasses on first.
This is Al talking.
Let me put my sunglasses on first. What am I saying?
Crazy Al wears his sunglasses indoors.
My celebritardness.
What were you drinking last night, Al? So I got to say this. I drank whatever people gave me.
No.
So I got to put this on record. So like I sit at the bar with Al. This is like even at Tiki Tea, right? So we're just like chilling out. Everything's cool. But then I'm fidgeting with my phone, and he sees the camera counting down. He changes when he's like, are we on? Are we on? Like, yeah, we're live. And then he jumps on, what's happening, Tiki Nation? That's what we love about Crazy. He gets crazy when he needs to be.
I just need an audience, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Look how shy
he's being right now, right?
Well, that's because I'm not fueled with the demon fire water.
Talk about the mug that you sculpted for the bar. Al,
well,
so we've got a mug coming out today.
Right.
There's a couple mugs. So let's talk about those. We've got the Devo Cat, which was designed by Mr. Doug Horn. And it's awesome because it's based on a painting, which is, I believe, is that the original over here? Yeah, so we've got the Devo Cat, which is sitting at a Moog keyboard with a Devo hat on, or the helmet, I guess you would call it. And then there was a mug sculpted out of that. And then you sculpted, Al, a Witco style cat.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm like, oh, Tiki Cat, how am I going to do Tiki Cat? And their logo is great and everything, but I wanted to, like, let's keep this classic Tiki, and how do you do a cat Tiki? And it was like, well, it's been done before.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I researched it online, like Google, you know, images, and, you know, I saw some Witco mugs out there and stuff that were done, but I didn't see any cats. And then, of course, as soon as I pitch it to Mark, and he's like, yeah, that sounds great. And then, you know, and I tell Mulder, because, you know, John Mulder's going to make it for us. And he's like, oh, I just did that like a week ago.
Oh, that's funny.
So he did what he should have done is his take on it. And I just ripped off Witco completely. So I did like a miniature, perfect representation of a Witco cat. And so for me as an artist, it's important to have a piece that, like, sort of makes a statement. And I really wanted this to look like a piece of wood, Witco wood, that you're going to be drinking out of. And and then there was some issues with the way to make it. And of course, the genius of Mulder is he's like, yeah, you can't make that. Because I wanted to do the long neck giraffe. Like thinking, yeah, let's put a super long, exaggerated neck on it. You know, because Shag is monopolized on that a little bit. And it's kind of an icon, this weird, super elongated neck. And he's like, yeah, you can't do that. But if we do it this way, blah, 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 and he likes it, you just attach the head and cast them separately and then put them back together, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so that kind of launched a whole new thing, which will be launched in the future, because I'm like, oh, if you're ready to take on this super secret mug project, then, you know, you're the man to do it.
Yeah.
And it's still a lot of R&D to really pull it off. Yeah. But there should be some surprising, really cool second edition available soon after this.
Does Mark even know about the second edition stuff? Do you know?
Well, it's all in the works. You know, okay. it's all in the planning stages.
All right.
But there's 100 mugs that look exactly like a Witco sculpture of the tiki cat, or of the cat sculpture.
Yeah.
And it just was like, you know, all I had to do was sculpt it and hand it over. It was great. And Mulder did a great job of, you know, they're all beautiful, clean. Glaze is awesome. So I couldn't be happier with it. It really nailed exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So it would have been cool to have some mugs to drink from last night. I'm not saying, you know, anything about, I'm not calling you out or anything. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to call out John for that, because John Mulder, who came in today, he missed the party last night, and which is kind of a bummer because it would have been cool to have him here, but, and drink out of the new mugs. But, so I'm curious, how much does that mug hold? Do you know?
I don't know. The first time I saw it was like 20 minutes ago. So I'm
okay.
This thing's awesome. And, basically what I did is, I'm not Mr. Mathematician. And, I said, well, how much, you know, I asked Mark what size it should be. And he's like, well, let's try to keep it around, I don't know, it was like 20 ounces or something. Or you said 18 to 20 or something. You wanted it to be a good size drink. And so I'm like, well, how do I do this? Blah, blah, blah. And so I kind of just tried to figure it out in my head, and my best guesstimation, you know.
So what were you drinking last night, but speaking of drinks?
Well, I think I tried a little bit of everything. I always do my litmus test is a painkiller, because a few years ago, no one even knew what a painkiller was, really, in a bar. You know, if you went to a bar and asked for a painkiller, they're like, what's that? You know, so that's always my litmus test. And because, you know, Mark had the foresight to have Martin key in the bar, it was a killer painkiller. It was like, it nailed it. I'm like, oh,
I'm
this
gonna
is,
tell you, that pain
this
killer,
is everything I want in a painkiller.
That painkiller is probably the best painkiller I've ever had.
Yeah, so it nailed
awesome.
It. So, of course, the litmus test, pass with flying colors, blah, blah, blah. And then I just kind of went through the menu with, you know, well, what's this name sounds interesting. And I'm not a Flarnum guy, so I like try to stay away from that. And then I just asked Martin, you know, okay, what, without reading the entire menu, and I just want the cliff notes. So I'm like, what am I going to get that's going to be closest to the Black Magic, you know? And he's like, this is a Maikai drink, which is like the ultimate tiki nectar of the gods.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm going to order you a Planner's Punch, and we'll see how you do with that. And I had the Planner's Punch, and it was like killer.
Awesome.
It was awesome, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's plenty of new things. I heard the little mermaid float on the banana hammock.
I had the
drink is awesome.
I had the banana hammock last night, which was awesome.
So I'm going to have that and a few other, you know, it's always time to come back and try a new one at these places, so.
Yeah. So Martin Kate was responsible for putting the bar program together here, and that explains why the drinks are so great. And we had Martin here last night, and one of the things that I'm curious about, Mark, what I want to ask you is, do you know how many drinks are on your menu?
It's roughly 20.
20.
Yeah, so we tried to keep it pretty small.
Okay. So is there any plan to do some kind of like, you know, like a drink program where you earn your name on a wall or something, where after you drink a certain number of drinks or anything like that?
No, there's not.
Okay.
I know that some places do that, and it's cool. We treat our regulars really well, and they come back, and that's a way to get people to come back, and we don't do that, but they come back anyway. So
that's cool. I mean, like, so, you know, the thing for me is, when I try something that I like, I'm a creature of habit, so I don't normally do those lists because I order what I like.
Yeah, you don't want to have to order a different thing every single time.
Yeah, yeah. And last night I had that painkiller, and I was really forcing myself to try something else in the menu because that painkiller was so good. I wanted to just have another one, right? And then I had the banana hammock, and then I had to force myself to try something else because I wanted to order another one, right? Yeah. I ended up ordering another one of those anyway because I thought, well, I'm here and it's for the party, so I'm not going to get that anywhere else. So that drink programs don't normally work for me in that way where people try to earn the name on the wall. It's just about...
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like to... I'm a creature of habit. I generally rotate between like three different drinks. Now, the first couple times I'm at a place, I'll try a bunch of different stuff, but
then
I kind of fall into a pattern of ordering. But when I go to a new tiki bar that I haven't been to before, generally I try the Mai Tai and the painkiller first. And if those are good, then you know their drink program is probably good. Those are good litmus tests.
Because it's funny that Al used the painkiller as a litmus test. I use the Mai Tai. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is my thinking is the Mai Tai is probably the most published recipe on the internet at the moment, especially with the craft cocktail resurgence. And...
You'd be amazed how many places get it wrong, though.
Yeah, and if they can't make it according to the way that it was originally conceived, it makes me question all the rest of the drinks on the menu. The Mai Tai is very simple.
Yeah, but the Mai Tai has been, since this goes back to Tiki Central days, you know, and the Mai Tai has been around for like 10 years, resurgence. And so people know what... Many bartenders will know that, I can't just make a crappy Mai Tai. There's you can get a pretty good Mai Tai in most places now just because of the tiki resurgence. But, you know, a few years ago, it was like, painkiller? What's a painkiller? You know, you go into a craft cocktail place that's a gin joint or a bourbon joint or something like that, and they're just like, they know all those things. But, you know, you order a painkiller, and they're like, we don't even have cream or Coco Loco in the bar, so we can't even make that for you, because they'll look it up for you and they'll go, we don't have any of these ingredients, and so if a tiki bar doesn't have those ingredients, then you know, let's order a gin and tonic or whatever you're gonna order.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks.
I ordered a painkiller at a Hooters once.
Oh, did you?
This was like 10 years ago.
What did they bring you? Did they made an attempt. Did they bring you a glass of water and two aspirins?
It was unbelievably bad. I tried to describe what it is.
Right.
And they made an attempt.
Yeah, on that note, for the record, it's not the banana hammock. That's not the name of the drink. It's an awesome drink, and it's a fun little... colloquialism or whatever that word is I'm trying to pop out.
Right.
But we're having fun with the name of that drink. But I don't have the menu name in front of me because I've just dubbed it the banana hammock. But that is not the name of the drink.
It's called the banana hammock.
It is the banana hammock?
It is a banana hammock. That's what I had.
It is the banana hammock. Okay. Okay. So it is the banana hammock.
That's the drink you like, the banana hammock?
I did. It was
really good. It was really good. Really good.
I just thought, you know, that was a genius name. So the name stands. Banana hammock. Order it today.
So that's the thing too about some of the names that are on this menu. So what's interesting to me sometimes is when I look at a drink menu, are the drinks made to the name or are they named after the drinks made? Do you know what came first? The banana.
The drink is always made first.
The drink is always made first.
The
name comes later.
Who cares if you have a good name if the drink sucks? You know. So
yeah, yeah.
It's all about the drink.
That's
not
a great
the name.
Point. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, sometimes people will do an event and then they might have like a maybe the fourth be with you event. They want to name a drink the Darth Vader or something.
Yeah.
You know?
So I guess for that kind of thing, if it's like a temporary, like a one off thing,
right,
or something, but
right,
not for like a permanent menu. You got to have good drinks.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the drinks are excellent here, and the atmosphere is awesome. I think you're doing an awesome job here, Mark, and I appreciate what you are doing to preserve classic Polynesian pop style tiki. That you actually like took the time to research the aesthetic, the history, and then you reached out to the community to help with that.
And there's just kudos, like, you know, bidding a job or whatever. He asked me to do a mug, and I'm like, well, I'd rather do an art piece than a mug because that's kind of what I specialize in.
So that's where I screwed up. That's where I asked Al to do a mug for me, and he rejected me.
I'm like, well, do you have a bank loan you could take out?
He declined me.
But the great thing about Mark is he's in a very unique situation where he can actually do things right. And that's the problem with any tiki bar, is that the material cost alone to do the interior correctly is just not feasible for most people. And like Mark found out, they're never going to give you the money to do it because they're like, what? You're crazy. Because they don't understand. They don't have a full vision. But Mark has the vision, and he's in a very unique position to be able to do it. So I'm like, well, I'd rather do an art mug than just another... To me, in my brain, I'm like, I don't need to make another tiki mug for the world because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
So let's create this piece of art, and if you're up for it, let's do it. And he's like, dude, yes. You know, he's like, yeah, we're going to do every weird idea I came up with. He's like, let's do it. And I'm like, I don't know what it's going to cost. It's going to be like, it's not going to be easy to make. Molder has to figure it out, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, dude, we're going to do it. And so... to run into someone like that, not to mention last night, I'm like trying to bring some family in town because I was fortunate to have family here. I have some nephews that grew up in Kansas City. So I can see them, and we had dinner at Hopcat. I bring them down here, and they weren't going to let me in with my people because they were at capacity for the private party.
Right, right.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, there's plenty of room in there. And the staff knows that they have a limited thing, and they have all these people coming in, so they were very adamant about not letting any more people in. So I had to like throw my name around and push my way in the door. But the whole bottom line is,
did you do the whole I know the owner line?
But the whole bottom line is that Mark has a policy that your experience is more important than the money he's making. So
I agree.
You're not elbows to asses.
Yeah.
The whole thing is he doesn't want more people in here than the bartenders can service at one time. And he wants the whole beginning to end ambiance. He wants the drinks to be great, the place to look great, and then you want to feel great at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You don't want to walk away like, Jesus, I got one drink all night.
And that's not just down here.
But that
upstairs, like I had dinner upstairs at Hopcat, and the service was phenomenal. And I don't know if it's a Kansas City thing or if that's your manager.
Well,
you're
in the Midwest.
It's
hospitality.
Yeah, everyone kept walking up to the table and greeting themselves, introducing themselves, and greeting me. And the food was excellent. And the same thing carried over down here in the bar, which was great.
It's just that there's such a unique. This place is so unique because it's not putting, you know, and if you build it, they will come, kind of thing. Where that's where it takes the vision.
Yeah.
Like, I always bring up Undertow in Phoenix because they have the same, I've worked with those guys and they have the exact same philosophy where it's like, your experience is the most important. Well, what happens? They're so busy, they're turning away people every night. One, that's small, but two, there's like, people can't wait to go there because they've heard such great things about it.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, your investors just can't see that far in the future, you know, whereas tiki people experience it as an ideal. And so they just know it. That's their heart and soul. That's what they live for, is a great tiki drink and a great ambiance. And so that's the vision. But if you don't have that vision, then it's a really hard sell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we wrap, I want to say thank you for hosting all of us here this weekend.
I'm glad you guys could make it. It's Celebrity Weekend in Kansas City.
And congratulations on 1 year of success at Tiki Cat. Congratulations, Ben. Thank you for putting this awesome bar together for us.
I didn't do it.
For everybody to enjoy. And yeah, the craftsmanship really shows through, Ben. It looks amazing.
Yeah, we tried to make it different like everything else, you know, but it's just a... Yeah, it is.
It looks great, man. I mean, like, I was really blown away when I first walked through. I thought, wow, this is great. It's I think I place. Told Ben last night. I started drinking, and I'm an I love you, man kind of guy when I start drinking, you know? So I started drinking, and I don't know, I threw my arm around Ben maybe a half dozen times. I'm like, dude, this place is awesome, man.
That is so good to hear. You know, we, being in Kansas City, like I said, we don't have that many local people that know a lot about Tiki, although we do have a nice group that comes in regularly, but we get a lot of people from California that will come in, just they're on a tiki tour, maybe they go to Chicago after this or something. Okay. But it's just really cool when that happens, you know, somebody from Southern California that's been to all the California tiki bars and is kind of immersed in that culture out there that you guys are immersed in, but here we don't have that same availability of tiki stuff. And so when they come in here and they're impressed, it really means a lot to us, because people that have been to a lot of tiki bars on the coast, and then they come in here and they're very impressed. That means a lot to us.
And I've said, actually this morning I was getting texts from people asking me, so how is it? And I said, yeah, look, I've been in the tiki game a long time and I've seen a lot. And I said, I was really impressed when I walked in. And
well, I mean,
like, you have classic Witco on the walls. You're serving drinks out of tiki mugs. The lighting is right. The music is right. It was all Exotica last night.
The thing that's different about this than a lot of tiki bars, not all of them, of course, there's a lot of good ones, but many tiki bars, the owner is not really that into tiki. Right. They don't really know. Maybe they've been to one or two tiki bars and they said, hey, let's start a tiki bar. I can do it as well. But I've been to tiki bars in Australia, Paris, London, all over the U.S. I've been to pretty much every really well-known tiki bar except for a few. I haven't been to Beach Bum Berries. I haven't been to the Atlanta Trader Vic's, but pretty much all the famous ones, the big ones.
Yeah.
So I took a lot of mental notes over the years, just being at those places and being a bar owner who owned other types of bars. I always took a lot of mental notes, and I've gotten really into tiki mug collecting. And I used to, and this is something I don't know if you know, I used to own the Titanic.
No.
The shipwreck. Yeah.
No.
You can Google it.
Shut up.
No, I owned all the artifacts from the Titanic shipwreck.
He came out to the first meeting at my house or whatever. He's like, yeah, I got to go check on this museum up the street. They got my show there or whatever. And I'm like, what's your show? He says, oh, I own the Titanic. I was like, what the fuck is that? You fucking own the Titanic? What's happening?
I'm still calling bullshit on that. Is that true?
I know.
Really?
It sounds like bullshit, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it
totally sounds like bullshit.
True. Yeah, I ran an investment fund and we took a large position in this publicly traded company called Premier Exhibitions that owned the Titanic shipwreck. And we ended up at one point owning 30-some% of the company. And I kicked out the management team and installed my own management team, and I was chairman of the board, and so I basically controlled the Titanic, and my fund owned 30-some percent.
Wow.
But that was years ago. That was years ago. But I'm kind of like a collector.
Don't let him fool you. He's still a homeless musician at heart.
A different life.
So are we gonna see a Titanic theme bar sometime
no.
in the future?
So that was, I just I like collecting things, and
that was an adamant no. Did you no?
I like preserving things that are worth, that should be preserved. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just something in my brain.
Awesome.
That.
Yeah.
I used to be a baseball card guy back in when I was a
teenager. We need more people like that appreciate preserving the things that need to be preserved.
Yeah. I think it's an important, this is a really important part of American culture, and it was almost completely lost in the 80s. Now, I wasn't one of the people that brought it back. I was just along for the ride as a customer at a lot of these bars, but now that I have an opportunity to step in and help try to preserve that culture, I'm having a blast. I love it. I'm really glad that I can be part of that.
I love it. Well, thanks again. And, you know, I'm so happy that you are celebrating 1 year. I hope we celebrate many, many more years here. And I hope to be coming out here for every birthday party. Second year, third year, fourth year.
We'll have you ever, anytime you want to come back.
I'd love it. I love it. So thanks again, you guys. I'm looking forward to, I guess we're going to prepare for a mug release now.
Yeah, I got to, actually, the manager's looking at me right now like, dude, we need you.
Wrap it up. Yeah. Okay. So let's wrap this up. You guys, if you have any questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout out, check us out on our group page, Inside the Desert Oasis Room on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. We've got at Bamboo Ben, at Crazy Al Tiki's, at Doug Horn Art, at Tiki Cat KC. And if you guys want to listen to previous episodes or try to get yourself on a future episode, send me a note. Check out our website, desertoasisroom.com.
Listen to number 27. It's a good
one. Listen to number 27. There you go, Bamboo Ben. Cheers and aloha, folks. Bye-bye.